If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is the Matthew Meyer edition. Folks, came out on Instagram. Matthew Meyer announced he's going to be a Fighting Illini. That is huge. The 6'9", 215-pound guard forward out of Baylor chooses the Illini. Kedrick, a lot of people were taken by surprise on this one. What have you heard about the decision-making process?
Well, you know, it's a big get for Illinois. And, you know, you're right. You know, all indications was this was a North Carolina commit to have. And, you know, Illinois has done a tremendous job of proving to people that they're just as good as North Carolina, Duke and Michigan and everybody else, because in Kansas, that they're going to recruit with the big boys. This was a big get, somebody that Illinois wanted. They made it really clear to anybody who will listen. They knew they needed another guy with some size, but this guy with some size is a lot different. You know, this kid can really and truly play 1 through 5. He can play all 5 positions. And it's a nice feature to have. I was sitting here thinking when he committed to Illinois tonight, I don't know of a player, and maybe you guys can help me, who plays like him in the Big Ten. I went through every roster, even the last couple of years, for a guy that's 6'9", that can, you know, shimmy shake and cross people over and shoot it off, shoot floaters off the glass, shoot threes. And I mean, he is a nice pickup for them, and he fits what they're trying to do. And also, he's an older guy that's been through the wars. You know, Terrence Shannon's been through the war, so this won't be a young team like people once thought it was either, because he's had some time on the court and played in big games.
Matt, what are your thoughts going off of what Ked talked about there?
Well, I mean, I didn't necessarily think that it was a slam dunk for North Carolina, because God knows they've got pretty much everybody coming back off that national runner-up team, and so I wasn't really sure if I'm Matthew Meyer how much playing time I'm going to get and how much I'm going to be featured on a team that's bringing almost everybody back on that team. I was shocked by it because we're recording this on May 27th, and tomorrow, May 28th, is the first day that Matthew Meyer could have taken official visits if he wanted to. So to lock it down before you do that, and before he gets to, say, North Carolina's campus and however many other campuses he wanted to go to, Arkansas, I saw, and maybe even Alabama, that's big for Illinois, only because, you know, I don't know. You just don't know personality wise how you're going to come out of a official visit weekend looking with a kid like that, who's, you know, out of Austin, Texas, and may not like Champaign-Urbana when he gets there. I have no earthly idea. This seemed like a basketball decision at the end of the day. I do foresee, obviously, he'll be one of the starters at the four, if a front court player, I would think. And so it just makes a lot of sense for a guy that just ended up participating in the NBA draft combine to come in and be a starter at a Power Five conference program that just won a Power Five conference league title just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I'm going to make Connor Kegley mad. He gave me a list of things to bring up. He's tied up tonight. But his thought process was that North Carolina had quite a few people that he would be, you know, dealing with in terms of, you know, being maybe the fourth option, very similar to Baylor. Right. If he was going to go to North Carolina, it seemed like the NIL would have been the difference between what you could get at North Carolina versus a Baylor. And Connor felt that if you had opportunity for playing time, that Illinois might offer a better mix of minutes for him than either Baylor or North Carolina. And that goes back to what you're talking about, Matt, with the basketball decision. Maybe that was the right thing. Of course, I'm boiling down what I what I was told, so I'm sure I got some of that wrong. I will tell you the interesting thing about Meyer is he gives Illinois yet another player who can bring the ball up. You know, you've got Terrence Shannon, you've got Meyer. We know, obviously, you know, the guards are Clark, Epps, Sincere Harris. They're freshmen, but they can handle the ball. But this gives you two older guys along with RJ Melendez. Coleman Hawkins, you know, is a good ball handler. This gives Illinois, you know, quite a few players who can bring the ball up and take advantage of matchups. And certainly on a night, if the freshmen are having a tough night, it gives kind of a pressure release valve for the Illini coaches. Ked, any thoughts on how Matthew Meyer really helps Illinois from a versatility standpoint?
It's a great question. What was told to me a few minutes after he committed, they want to be universal. And so to answer your question, they want five guys on that court where the defense has to make a decision on who to guard and how you guard all of them, because they're long, they're tall, they can shoot it, they're athletic. I mean, most teams, if you really think about it, and you know, all the teams in the country, most teams have two or three maybe great players. Illinois is going to have a chance to put out five really good players. And, you know, this is going to be on one of our articles that we put up on IlliniGuys.com. You know, a source close to the program said to me tonight, this roster has five NBA players on it. You know, so you talk about interchangeable parts. Parts that can do multiple different things and at different times. And, you know, you're right, Ty Rodgers can play some point. He's 6'6". He's athletic, you know, as they get. And the one guy that was mentioned to me tonight that, you know, I don't want to say people forgot about, but they haven't, is RJ Melendez. That kid is having a great offseason workout, and he's turning heads as well. So it's, you know, they're going to take their lumps. But then again, I was told tonight, they don't, that's not the plan. They're going to go out and try to win every game they can. They want to advance. They really want to advance in the tournament. They know what people are saying. The coaches know and understand, the players know. They didn't advance. They've had two unlucky rounds. That is their goal. The Big Ten tournament title, that stuff matters. But at the end of the day, that's their mission.
Yeah, and Matt, we've heard positionless basketball talked about an awful lot over the last few years. You think we're coming? That seems like almost like an aspirational goal. But do are we a lot closer to that as a destination than we've ever been before?
Closer. I tend to audibly roll my eyes at stuff like that because it's kind of like when football coaches talk about how we want to play with pace.
Yeah,
and we're going to run up tempo stuff, and I laugh all the time when I hear that stuff because I really like, well. You know, Tony Bennett won a national championship and there wasn't really a whole lot of like, you know, we're going to play really fast and we're going to, I mean, they have a brand and they play to it and they were really good players too. So I get it, but you know, he brings versatility in the sense that I don't know the last time Illinois had a four they could rely on that could shoot it as well as he can. I have concerns about practically almost everything else. But at an elite that there is a perception that he does this at an elite level, and Baylor has elite athletes that were playing over him. He does one elite thing really, really well as a 6'9" guy and that shoot the basketball. And I don't know the last stretch four that Illinois had that really could boast that. You know, if he turns into a 6'9" version of what Thomas Walkup was for Brad Underwood and Stephen F. Austin, then that's exactly what they want him to be. But, you know, there are things that I think, how do I put this? I think the fit is going to be interesting because the way that Baylor plays a lot, especially on the defensive end, is a complete different 180 than what Illinois asks their guys to do defensively. So, He's going to be asked to do a lot of different things on that end of the floor that he's never been asked to do in his career. Not that I don't think he can do it, but the fit is going to be interesting, especially early on with this basketball team and how they play together.
Yeah, this team is very interesting. So, Ked, we still don't know about Pete Nance. You know, we'll know pretty quickly here as the NBA draft deadline rapidly approaches. But let's just pretend for discussion purposes that he's not going to be here. That'd be good news we can celebrate on another day. Let's also say that Courtney Ramey, who we still hear there is some discussions, you know, at the guard position. Let's say he's not here. Let's say we're looking at this roster being fairly set, maybe bringing in a project, you know, guy or two. But let's just go with who are you starting on this lineup now, Ked?
Me, Sky Clark at the one, Terrence Shannon at the two, Dane Danger at the three, Matthew at the four, and Coleman at the five.
So you're gonna now. I want because Ked, I'm gonna go after you here.
I know because I love
you. RJ are the original RJ man, and okay, you're not gonna start him.
Okay, let me ask you this, and this is why. At his position, he is not going to beat out Terrence Shannon, I don't think. And could he possibly? Yeah, I don't think he's going to beat out. And you just heard Matt say Matthew's going to be on the court. The only way RJ starts is if Coleman doesn't. I'll say that if Coleman doesn't start, there's a chance you'll see RJ in that lineup.
Okay, because you know it's interesting. You know we've heard and. Generally, when I hear stuff, it's through you or Brad that RJ's had some really good practices. So he's building his brand, though, right?
You don't bring guys. You bring a transfer in like a Terrence Shannon, you know, or Matthew Mayer. They're not going to sit. It stinks. And you bring a five-star guard in like Sky Clark.
Yep.
They can't. They're not going to sit. So there's only five spots. And that's why I said if Coleman's not that guy and – honestly, I have a hard time not starting RJ because you're right. I'm a big fan of his, and everybody knows I've been that guy. and maybe, you know, maybe one of those guys don't start, and maybe Dane Danger doesn't start, you know, right away. That's a possibility. But I'll tell you what, it's a nice problem to have. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Matt, who do you have starting on this team?
I'd like to have Dane Danger play a college basketball game first before I put him in the starting lineup, which he has not done. That's my only beef with that whole lineup. I'd probably start RJ just because at the three, just because, you know, I need somebody that might be able to. RJ's got to get better at guarding people, quite frankly. I mean, and the reason he got pulled was not because of the offensive end of the floor a lot of the time. The reason was because of the defensive end of the floor. And as a freshman, there were times he didn't know what he was doing either. But I would think as a full off season, if RJ has gotten progressively better at, you know, playing defense, then yeah, I would play him. And I would let Dane come off the bench. There's no reason to, you know, his first college basketball game, he has to start and be a guy that you feature. That's going to be a slow process, I think, for a lot of people and including him. My thing with Matthew Mayer is the fit again. I mean, you've seen – one of the things that I think he's going to struggle with is the idea that at Baylor, you and Ked both coached. He was asked to cheat a lot in the passing lane because they play a defensive system that basically has a whole bunch of guys rotating toward the basket and toward the lane. Yep. So he's able to cheat in the passing lane, similar to the way that Brad Underwood coached his guys to play those first couple of years. And that's why Matthew Mayer gets a whole bunch of steals and has a whole lot of highlight stuff on defense. But when he doesn't get there on the cheat, he looks real bad. And so I think the first thing that they're going to want him to do basically is just go back to the fundamentals of ball you man and see how well he does with that, especially at the four. And then I think the ability for him and Coleman to play together, again, especially on the defensive end of the floor, is going to be interesting because there's still a lot of bigs in the Big Ten that you're going to have to deal with. And, you know, that's going to be a team effort. It's not just going to be a man on man anymore with Kofi Coburn not here anymore. So, I would do Mike, what you want to do, which is play RJ at the three, play Mayer at the four, and play Coleman at the five, however ramification you want to do with that. And that would be it. And then you talked about the rotation and this lineup quickly. You've got 10 guys now. I mean, again, in his career, Brad Underwood's never really been great about playing more than 10 guys. So at that point, I think you've got 10 rotational pieces here that I really think could help you when you add Matthew Mayer to the four freshmen that are coming in. And then you add him to, you know, Terrence Shannon and Dane Danger. That's 10 guys that I think that you can manipulate the minutes with pretty well.
Yeah. And I want to see, you know, that we don't have to now rely on Kofi being on the floor,
right,
34 minutes a game or whatever it was, you know, and trying to, you know, hustle and get up and down the court. Now, all of a sudden, I think this team could be doing an awful lot of you know, shoot under 7 seconds, a lot of, you know, inbound fast breaks, you know, when somebody does score, you know, inbound to a guard who gets it down to somebody, you know, down on the hash at the other end of the court and attack. And I think
I'll tell you what, Mike, they're going to press.
Oh, I agree, totally.
Yes. Yeah, they're going to press. One of the things you guys remember, Brad Underwood said that he missed about Iowa was responsible for about 8 fast break points. And when he left, they lost that. They're going to get out. And I don't remember what game it was, Matt. I know you and I were there and Brad at the same time. It was the lineup. I think Kofi got in foul trouble. And that's when Brad Underwood, I think they lost at home to some team. Maybe it was Ohio State. And they start
pressing. But Underwood got kicked out and Jeff Alexander went to press.
Was that against Ohio State?
Yeah, Brad Underwood got kicked out and then Ohio State just decided, screw it, let's go to the press.
Yes, and it was effective, and it was something. I mean, I haven't seen it in a long time, and I know that's going to be a big part of their scheme next year. So that part of it and trying to get up and score in that 7 seconds, and sorry to cut you off, Mike. I don't know what I thought, but that's what they're planning to do. So you're right. It's going to be a little different. They're really going to push the tempo.
Oh, and they've got 10 guys to do it. The other thing that was interesting to me, and for those of you who coach out here, when I used to coach AAU basketball, occasionally I'd have my father-in-law help me out, and he won 4 state titles at Springfield. And when I had a couple of the guards from that normal community team that ended up second in state, if he was there, he would go, we're not letting anybody bring the ball up half court, not against guards that are this good defensively. And even he would do full court pressure from the guard position. And his whole objective was to get 4 layup attempts, you know, 2 in each half. And he goes, you know, you're going to make 3 out of 4. He goes, and I'll take 6 points added on to my score in any game that you want to give them to me. And I see an awful lot of contested play when you're looking at these, because I don't think anybody has any idea when you take a look at some of the athletic abilities across the board. This team may be the most athletically talented Illini team since 1989. And you're going to have guys in Terrence Shannon and Ty Rogers and Sincere Harris, you know, Coleman Hawkins, you know, pound for pound is a heck of an athlete. You know, they're going to be out there in passing lanes, and you make a mistake, you pick up a dribble, you lob a pass. This is the type of team that used to give Illinois trouble because they make you pay, and now you got to throw over the top of them, and they've got guys who will go get that ball like it's that turkey on Thanksgiving Day that John Madden goes after. So I think we're looking at something fundamentally that's going to be very interesting to watch. And watching Baylor, I will say one thing. Mayer is the type of guy that you want out there in passing lanes on a press. And I'm not certain, you know, Ked, am I understanding this the way you're looking at it?
Oh, you're exactly right. And I think what you're going to see, a multiple different press. You'll see man, you'll see a 1-2-2, you'll see a 1-3-1 3-quarter, you'll see 1-3-1 trap. Can you imagine if you put Coleman Hawkins at the top of that press with RJ Melendez and Ty Rogers or Matthew, I mean, Long, that's hard to see over. Iowa, you know what? One of Iowa's best friends, best teams this year was because he did that. They were all Long. I mean, his son, his kids Long, and, you know, and the Murray boys, they made it tough to see over the top of that. And that's going to be really unique. They're going to do a lot of things differently. I think if they could, you know, and everybody has mixed feelings on the guards, and I'm not one to think, this is just me, they have to have a veteran guard. If you're going to go get one, I would go get somebody who's really successful to be a major program. I don't think if they can able to land, Ramey, I think that's icing on the cake. But I think the guards are good enough for them to learn. These kids, this is 2022. This isn't the 80s anymore where freshmen have to come in and struggle. Yeah, they may take their lumps. Io did it, but Sky Clark's not Io. They're different players. So we don't know what that's going to look like. I just say roll with it and see what you got, because I think they're good enough. I think if they don't fizzle out and they stay healthy, they're going to turn some heads, and I think they're good enough to win games. And there's so many ball handlers on that team to where you don't have to rely on one guy either.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's an interesting thing when you look at these teams. I don't know that I'd want to commit 25 minutes to Ramey with those three young developing guards, but it's a very easy thing, you know, if somebody gets hurt, you know, 5, 10, 12 games, then all of a sudden you really wish you had a Ramey. So, you know, it's one of those situations where, depending on how the dice roll, you know, you can blame the coach for no matter what personnel decision he makes. Matt, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that Brad Underwood's still the head coach of this team, and I'm very, very interested in how freshman guards are going to impact his ability to stay patient. He doesn't usually have him. He doesn't usually have that in him. He may not have much of a choice if he doesn't go get a veteran guard. If Sky Clark and or, you know, Jaden Epps are in the game and they do something that's completely something we didn't practice for the last 4 days, and you know how Brad Underwood gets with that. And then he looks down at the bench and realizes there's not a veteran he can go back, he can pull him for. That's going to be an interesting dynamic for Brad Underwood. I think this whole thing is an interesting dynamic for Brad Underwood. I think he has talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked until he's blue in the face about staying old, getting old, having old players. Matthew Mayer helps that, by the way, like an older guy that can get everybody settled down, knows how college basketball, how you win, how you do winning things, blah, 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 blah. Freshman guards, I don't care who you are, like they don't fit that. You know, and they don't fit Brad Underwood's impatient personality, quite frankly. I'm very, very interested in the dynamic of what's going to happen, not in January, February, and March, because I think that can all figure it out by then. But in these early games in November and December, you know, how is Brad Underwood's patience going to get tested, and how's he going to do with that? Because, again, I talked about you have 10 guys. Well, he loves to play a 10-man rotation, but none of those guys, when you try to run stuff, have much experience. And by run stuff, I mean have a guard that can get you in and out of things that you need to get in and out of. Because, I mean, the stats just show it. You cannot play 94 feet and expect you're going to get layups all day long. That's just, you know, the game is won and lost in the half court. And so, you know, you got to have guys that can get you in and out of stuff. And Brad Underwood's never been a guy that's been very patient with freshmen when they make mental errors, and they make errors that just aren't preached over and over again in practice. So I'm intrigued as to how that's going to work.
Yeah. Well, and Ked, you know, I think that's obviously going to be something, although he did live through, and I got to be honest with you, you know, both Trent and Io did get a relatively long leash their freshman years. And obviously the roster isn't what it is now.
Do you guys remember when he had, I know you guys do, when he was having freshmen, I think they were playing Maryland at home and someone else they got beat, and they couldn't even get the ball to bounce. I think DeMonte maybe was a freshman there.
Yeah, that was the DeMonte inbound. inbounds. Yes. They were just so crazy. Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff I can see that could bite them in the butt. That stuff right there. I can see that possibly, because if you get them rattled and like you're playing, you know, when they go on the road, when they go to Las Vegas, I mean, you're playing three top 10 teams in the country. So I can see where you're coming from with that.
Well, and one of the things that I keep thinking too, though, is, you know, the difference to me is with the type of ball handlers that he has now. You know, like, for instance, you know, I would love to have a guy with the ball handling ability and passing ability of Meyer at 6'9", being my trigger man on the inbound, because, you know, you can't really get, you know, somebody to force a bad pass with height on him. You know, so there's some of those things that you can kind of lean into with the roster that you have. And again, I think we go back to, you could have an awful lot of fun targeting the guy on the, you know, the mismatch, you know, at the 3, 4, 5 position, and letting, you know, depending on if you have Coleman, Meyer, and Terrence Shannon or Ty Rogers in there, you could literally look at the matchups of those three guys and figure out whoever's got the worst matchup, that guy's bringing the ball up. If your freshmen were, let's say, being locked up by opposing guards, it's Underwood's going to have a heck of a lot of options that he's just never had before. I don't know, Matt, I think that'll be overwhelming, but it's certainly going to give him some opportunities to develop as well.
Yeah, I think Mike, again, I'm going to stay to my brand, but I think my biggest concern is playing Matthew Mayer and Coleman Hawkins together. And it's not because I don't think they fit. It's that based on what Matthew Mayer has been asked to do at Baylor defensively for 4 years, if that continues, okay, and it's hard to teach somebody out of something in a matter of months. I mean,
yep, you're right.
Right. So, and it's not like he's a bad defender. It's just his instincts make him get beat a lot, you know, whether it's in a passing lane or off the dribble. Coleman Hawkins is going to have to become an infinitely better, you know, rim protector than he's ever been asked to be at that point. Not saying he can't do it, because with the athletic ability and his height and his ability to do it, I think he can, but he's going to have to he's going to have to get to probably two rungs higher on that level of rim protecting than he's ever been. But there's no doubt. I've talked to Brad Underwood before about what you're talking about, Mike, is, you know, getting a defensive rebound and then just go.
Yep.
That's kind of what they teach their guys to do, to be honest. You saw it a lot, you know, they got away from it because I think, and I'll be honest, I think they got away from this a lot because they wanted Bello to take the ball up the floor and get everybody into what they wanted to get into. That's what the plan was last year. But before Bello was your starting point guard or considered your starting point guard, you saw Demonte Williams grab a rebound and go. And at least everybody knew what they were doing by the time Demonte Williams got to the three-point arc, you know, and we had to run something, you know, and you've seen Coleman Hawkins grab a rebound and just kind of get everybody down the floor, you know. And I tend to think that that's not that big a deal, but like I've seen Ty Rogers do it, and I don't have any doubt that he can do it too. So that is a teachable skill at Illinois that they basically teach their wings to do. You know, RJ Melendez is going to be asked to do that. Hey, get us up the floor and make sure we don't get a timeline foul and get us into what we need to get into. I don't think that's going to be an issue for Brad Underwood. The issue for Brad Underwood is that if Sky Clark throws two balls into the stands, is he going to want to pull him? If, you know, if Jaden Epps takes two contested threes, is Brad going to want to pull him? That's what I mean by patience. And just having that ability to have that credibility, not have that credibility baked in like he did with Demonte and Trent and Jacob Granderson. How's that dynamic going to work this year? I'm fascinated by that.
So as we kind of get close to wrapping up here, give us your final thoughts, Matt, and then we'll loop around and get Ked's final thoughts.
My final thought is that I think Matthew Mayer made a great basketball decision because obviously he was one of the 90 guys that was invited to the combine. The professional people think that he has a skill set that can translate to professional basketball without a doubt. He made a decision that allows him to get more, you know, looks and a more diverse, versatile skill set at Illinois than I think he would have at North Carolina. I think he would have been a guy that gets forgotten about if he'd have gone to Chapel Hill, even though I think they're going to be awesome and they might be preseason number one when we start this thing in the winter. But I think at Illinois, Matthew Mayer may get to highlight himself a lot more with this decision. And I think it makes sense. I think the key for me again, and I'll say it again, is can he play at both ends of the floor with Coleman Hawkins? Because if he can, Illinois has the lineup that they want to have, especially with Matthew Mayer as the stretch, basically the best stretch four that Underwood's ever had, short of, you know, again, you know, Thomas Walkup that he had at Stephen F. Austin. But if they can't play together, then I think they've got big problems because they don't have enough depth in the front court to have that not work.
Yep. So that puts us in a good position. So, Ked, why don't you take us home here?
Well, I think it was a good decision for him, you know, from a basketball standpoint, a PR standpoint. The Big Ten is an attractive conference. He's going to get some looks from the NBA, you know, with what Io did and Kofi, you know, doing what he's doing. You know, the NBA scouts are no longer avoiding the Illinois practice facility. So, I know that's his dream, and, you know, and this is good for him. But from an Illinois basketball standpoint, I can't say it enough. I mean, he brings a dimension to this team. And I, you know, people who listen to this podcast, if they follow me on Twitter or, okay, what I think he does is he'll bring a different dimension. Just as, like I said, the skill set, being able to play, you know, multiple positions, 1 through 5. And, you know, Illinois had not had a player like that ever. I don't think, you know, they could do that. I know, you know, being in the Big Ten will be attractive for him. And, you know, Illinois has had NBA scouts, you know, around the program for the last couple of years. And I know that's his dream, is to play in the NBA. So, you know, that's a good positive for him. And I think how it's going to help the University of Illinois is that he's just going to be a tough matchup. You know, Illinois is going to be a tough matchup for a lot of people. You know, you look at Dane Danger, which all the coaches will tell you, every coach on that staff will tell you, they're just amazed at how he looks so far in practice. Matt's right, he has not played a game, but these coaches aren't blind, and they've been around enough to know. You know, Dane's looked really, really well with Fletch, and his body's changed. And, you know, a lot of it's going to depend on what Coleman's going to do, and he's another long guy that has great NBA upside. And then you bring in the 5-star guard and Sky Clark and Terrence Shannon, who's just, you know, a Nick Anderson or Kenny Battle waiting to happen. So I think adding him, a piece like him, scouring the social media, this woke up a lot of national guys. Illinois is now, you know, moving up the ladder, and a lot of other Big Ten schools are trying to figure out how Illinois is doing this.
Thanks, Ked and Matt, for giving us your input on Matthew Mayer selecting the Fighting Illini, transferring from Baylor. Be really exciting to see him come on board. And, of course, if you enjoy this podcast, you can listen to the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's our 2-hour weekly radio show that is on 30 stations and counting. We got another station coming on board pretty quickly here. You can hear it once a week, and go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and you can see what day of the week, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, what station and what town, and then what time we're on. All we ask you to do is please go ahead and call up that radio station and let them know that you're really happy with the Illini Guys being on their station. We would love you to do that. Additionally, of course, IlliniGuys.com, the best place for this type of information. If you go to IlliniGuys.com, $99 a year, you will be able to be informed on everything going on in Illini sports. Insiders Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince, Matt Stevens, along with people like myself and Larry Smith, we are there trying to cover every single corner of Illinois athletics as best we can. So please go there We would love to have you be a member. And once you get back into the message boards, you will find out that you will want to stay a member. So we do. We would love to see you do that. Of course, we also have some other podcasts besides Eye on the Illini. You can listen to Sturdy for 30. That's Brad's award-winning flagship podcast here at IlliniGuys.com. Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where Ked is just literally on fire with coaches, players, recruits, all sorts of people that he gets interviews with. They're fascinating to listen to. And, of course, we do a podcast when the last show has ended. On Sunday afternoon, you can look for our Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. Our radio show is released on podcast. And finally, if you are looking to help contribute to the name, image, likeness funds that are, you know, used by the or that will actually go towards players, you'll want to go to IlliniGuardians.com. There's five levels that you can donate to, and you can have your input and your help can be a big part of what helps an Illini athlete be able to give back to the community, or a variety of things that can help with Illini athletics. So please take a look at that as well. So with that, this is Illini guy Mike Kegley. A big thanks out to Kedrick Prince, our director of recruiting, and Matt Stevens, our staff reporter. We will talk to you soon. Maybe we'll have some words about Pete Nance or Courtney Ramey. It's all got to play out. So we just want to LIPO it, let it play out. And we will talk to you soon. Go Illini.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.